Influencers is brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. Welcome to Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM, and I am your host, Lady Shima. This show is a platform to highlight the transformational impact of global and national influencers who use the power of their influence to promote positive change. We also bring focused attention to the personal stories of influencers with the hope that their tenacity in the face of hard-hitting challenges and their unrelenting resilience will inspire the comeback spirit in every local and international listener. And today, we delve into the mind of a man who was the product of a broken home, who through mentorship and community still grew up to become a voice of spiritual and social transformation. He also overcame great challenges to eventually become a respectable husband, the father of four, and the pastor of a church making positive impact on its surrounding community and the nation at large. Today, I have a forthright but yet inspirational conversation with influencer Lyle Bethel, pastor of Grace Community Church, on the topic, the state of fatherhood. All this and more when we return here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
Need your picture taken? Well, if you want it to look its best, then go to the best. It's Sawyer Studios, capturing your special events, portraits, passport, job, and visa photos. Plus, there's more. Also offering professional printing services of business cards, letterheads, signs, and banners. Opened Monday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a legacy. 28 years and growing. Located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Call 361-7786. ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima. And here with me today is influencer, Pastor Lyle Bethel. He is the pastor of Grace Community Church there at Palmetto Village / Marathon. And it's a really awesome privilege and pleasure to have him, to have you with me today, sir. How are you?
Lady Shima, I'm doing very well. It's been a while since you and I have gotten together on a program. I think we did one many, many years ago.
Years ago, yes. Yes, and so it's great to have you.
But I've got lots of grace since the last time we were together.
Yes, and we're going to be hearing more about that during the course of this conversation here today on Influencers on Guardian. And of course, you know, researchers, psychologists, community activists, leaders, political leaders, so many say and acknowledge that so much of what's wrong in our society stems from who was intended to be the foundational pillar of a society. And I'm referring to our men who eventually become fathers. And of course, there are men who have become fathers who are doing an outstandingly unbelievable job in being good fathers, community leaders and agents of positive transformation within our local communities. However, and unfortunately, so many of our men are broken, as we know, and they become broken fathers. And this inevitably feeds into a broken society. And this is why I've invited you here as an influencer in the religious and social arena here in the Bahamas and within the region to discuss our topic, the state of fatherhood, with this being the month of June, with an emphasis on fathers, and of course, Father's Day around the corner. But before we delve into our topic today from a more of a social and spiritual perspective, let's hear a bit about your experience with your own father. What was he like, and what did he teach you?
Okay, I'm one of those cases where I grew up in, my parents were married when I was born, but about 5 years after I was born, I had an older brother, but about 5 years after I was born, they were separated. And since divorce wasn't something you did back in those days, they didn't divorce until I was around about 11. But our dad would pick us up every 2 weeks. We'd spend time together. He did his best to be there. Mm-hmm. But I would say that I had an uncle who did more to influence us, and friends of the family who did their endeavor best to be there for us, help mm-hmm. us with schoolwork and those sorts of things. So Mom made sure that there were men in our lives who could make an impact. And of course, Dad did whenever he was available, whenever he came by to pick us up and spend the weekend. So I'm one of these persons who did grow up in a two-parent home, but not for long. And mm-hmm. Like 75% of our population would have grown up without a father present in the home. But wise mothers know how to involve the other males in the family to influence and make an impact and be a guide to mm-hmm. us. And that happened with us.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to ask you, how has that experience, you know, with your uncle who was there and the other, you know, positive men within the community, I guess, within the church that your mom saw to it, you know, that they were present to have some kind of a positive impact and influence upon your lives? How has that impacted the man that you are today?
Well, you know, I would definitely say there's a difference between how boys respond to men and than how they respond to women. There's a natural affinity and respect. You know, boys love their mother, but there's something that happens when a boy is in a relationship with a male father figure who is imparting wisdom, advice, knowledge into their lives. There's a different kind of thing going on. And I remember my brother and I were encouraged to memorize the poem by Rudyard Kipling, If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. And it's a poem that speaks about how someone becomes a man and how they respond to life and so forth. And one of the verses says that if you can take a heap of all your earnings and risk them on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginning and never breathe a word about your loss. Basically, it's saying that sometimes a man can do something foolish like gambling everything he has.
Right.
And, one turn of pitch and toss. But when he loses, he should just start again at the beginning and never breathe a word about its loss. Well, this wise father figure, what he did was he said, you know what? And he bet my brother and I about some other thing. And, you know, I bet and lost. And I was upset that I'd lost that $50 I'd made and yada, yada, yada. I said, I'd make 100, but I lost it. And about 2 months, it occurred to me, you memorized that poem, but you didn't internalize it because I did the very thing the poem said not to do. I lost.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I lost everything, but I was moaning and moping, but I failed to understand that the purpose of the poem was to realize that if you're going to be a man, you take responsibility for your action, you take responsibility for your loss, and you move on. And so from that point, I realized, wow, a wise father / father figure imparts wisdom, knowledge, understanding in ways that gets the young man thinking, because so much is coming at us all the time, radio, TV, newspaper, books. Start to encourage the young men and young women as well who you're fathering over. You've got to help them to be thinking so that their thoughts are not taken captive by foolish thinking and peer pressure and so forth. And amazingly, I've become a a student of, I love to memorize scripture because I believe that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And yes. Helped us in our thinking. We could take every thought captive. And so I really try to encourage my congregation, my children, to know the scriptures because they are able to impart wisdom, knowledge, understanding, direction, guidance, you name it.
We're going to get to the spiritual perspective in just a bit on our topic, the state of fatherhood. For those persons who may just be joining us, and I am interviewing influencer Lyle Bethel, pastor of Grace Community Church. But you made mention of the fact that here in the Bahamas, more than 75% of our homes are led by single mothers. And of course, that brings to light another element that you mentioned, and that is absenteeism when it comes to our fathers. What kind of product that you believe that's causing to be experienced in our community here in the Bahamas, in our nation, as a result of such absenteeism by fathers, you believe it's having an overwhelming negative impact? Or
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I teach on this during Father's Day in the month of June, which is men's month in our church, mm-hmm. I show figures that 90%+ of men who are in prison are from fatherless homes or absentee fatherism and so forth. And it is
Wow.
absence of a father is anywhere from 100-200% more likely to have created in a child emotional and behavioral problems. I like this quote from David Moore in his book, Five Lies. He says, from relationships to education to mental instability to crime, one factor looms as the most significant contributor, a home without a dad. And
wow.
So we as a group of people have long since been bereft of the guidance, the wisdom, the experience of fathers in the home. And it has created the massive gang problem that we have.
Yes.
Because boys want, it's amazing. We think boys just want to be rebellious and rude and so forth. No, boys are looking for family. They're looking for a place to belong.
And,
and when they don't get that from the home, because there's only a bunch of women there trying to tell, we're just women trying to tell me, a man, what to do.
Right.
And so they're looking for a place to bond with men. And they get that in gangs. And so what churches have to do is recognize that the men have to do double duty. The men in the church who may have their own families have mm-hmm. got to be enter some of the other young men who find their way into the church, because those boys are looking for male bonding. And it's very important that they find it in a safe environment where virtue rather than vice can be accentuated.
That's really good. Where virtue rather than vice can be accentuated. Let's talk a little bit about that. You're talking about the importance of male bonding. They're looking for belonging. They're looking for leadership. They're looking for guidance from that yeah. male figure. You know, we have a lot of churches that are opened on a Saturday, on a Sunday, during the weekends or through the week, on a Tuesday night Bible study, on a Wednesday night Bible study or prayer meeting. Do you believe that enough is being done in really going beyond the walls, the borders of the walls of the church, and really going out there and compelling them to come, as opposed to remaining within the walls and hoping that they would walk through the doors? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I believe churches are doing that. And of course, I can't speak for every church, but I can mm-hmm. speak for Grace. And at Grace, we, you know, if there's a way they can get lost, there's a way we try to find them. We, for many years, we had a preschool here where we mm-hmm. trained of kids and so forth. But then we realized there's hundreds of preschools here. We need to concentrate in the primary schools and the high schools, because a lot of these kids weren't getting any kind of a Christian impact. And so we, the men in our church are mobilized to, we've adopted some 8 schools in the area. More lately, it's more like 3 of them, R.M. Bailey, Doris Johnson, and C.I. Gibson. And occasionally mm-hmm. we go L.W. Young, But we try to have spiritual lessons that we go over there and teach. Sometimes we've had up to 30 men in 30 different classes teaching every two weeks. We have our Awana program that's been going for about 42 years, where we are teaching kids from age 3 to age 13 spiritual lessons in a fun learning environment where there's discipline. We have Word of Life program that's more for teens. We have a lot of, we do a lot of mission, short-term mission trips with all members of the church, men, women, boys, girls. We go to Haiti, Dominican Republic, St. Martin's, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and this camaraderie, this bonding takes place as we do all these things together. We have a reading program for people who can't read. We're part of the juvenile system where the courts will ask us to mentor or monitor persons who are coming through the court system. I mean, we try to do everything we possibly can. And occasionally we would have we'll bring in a special speaker or organization, and we'll bring that speaker for a week, and we'll have them go to all the different high schools and do a presentation. Some time ago, we changed our church's name from Grace Gospel Chapel to Grace Community Church. Why? We wanted the neighborhood and everyone to realize we are open 24/7. We are a community church.
And that you're about community, yes.
Mm-hmm. They're about community. And so we have lots of opportunities to impact young men, young women. For a while, we had a thriving basketball ministry, but all of the people who were good at basketball got married and had kids, fat and out of shape.
That's what happened. Oh, wow.
So that's not a ministry. No, you don't just start ministries. Ministries start with people have an interest in that area. Mm-hmm. You know, when you create artificial ministries, you say, well, we need this ministry, but you don't have people who are passionate. It doesn't happen.
Because the passion is going to lead to the longevity of that. It needs to be sustained, right? And it's that passion that's going to encourage you to push through whatever challenges and, hurdles come your way. It's the passion that's going to keep you pressing. Passion is absolutely necessary. You said quite a number of things there, but I want to just really stick a pin and focus on two of the programs that you mentioned that really, really, really got my attention. You talk about the adoption of three schools that you mentioned, but you also spoke about being instrumental in monitoring those persons who are being passed through the court system. Speak about the latter first for me. Give me some more details on this, because I think there needs to be more of a platform and, provided for persons to be made aware as to the real involvement of the church when it comes to social reform and when it comes to positive transformation, of our young people, that you are as involved as you are. And when I say you, I'm talking about the church at large throughout the nation, because there tends to be this constant cry by some that the church is not doing enough, they're not represented in enough areas of society within, the seven pillars. They're not really that present and not really making that much of an impact. But when you said that, that really got my attention. What kind of results are you seeing from actually being involved in that particular program and monitoring those persons who are being passed through the court system, particularly our young men, as we discuss our topic today, the state of fatherhood?
Well, let me just say this quickly, Lady Shima. You're absolutely correct. You know, sometimes I'm on the radio and some joker will call and say, what's the church doing? You hear that so often.
Yeah.
And I think that's an opportunity to learn them something and just help understand just how much the church is doing. In fact, I tell people all the time, if the church in this country shut down, our society would collapse.
Wow.
Churches are doing so much. They're housing, feeding, clothing, they're fixing marriages, they're dedicating children, they're doing so many things. And we don't go and put that on the news and say, look at all that we did. And so, no, we don't do that. But we're doing it, and social service is doing what they can do, but their work is not as much as it would be if churches were not doing their part to to minister to families who have been broken and shattered by bad choices or death in a family that has impoverished a family and so forth. But yeah, last time I checked, we had about four or five of our members sit on the juvenile panel. And, the judge knows that, well, you know, these guys are going to do their best to help this boy or this girl going through the system to get the help that they need. They don't have to pass down a harsh sentence when they know that they can just cause the sentence to be impacted by what grace members and other people from these churches can do. Now, I'm not as up to date on it.
Okay.
I don't micromanage. I release my members to do what they do best, but I can't tell you I know everything about everything that's going on. I know vaguely some things, but I know enough to know that this program is having a great success.
And speak a little bit more too on the adoption of the schools and giving us just a bit more details on exactly what is done within these programs and what kind of data, what kind of evidence is there to show the real raw impact that the adoption of these schools is having when it comes to the influence of the church within the community?
Well, I can tell you, and I don't have these facts readily available on me, so okay. don't anyone listening, don't kill me. I think with R.M. Bailey, who were probably there more than any other school, there was a jump in their grades, they love us. The teachers know us. We were there on a regular basis. Obviously, before COVID hit and made a mess of so many things, but up to 30 of our members, men and women, were there every 2 weeks during the family development class, and we design our own materials, and we go in and we have the kids for about 45 minutes or more. And we instruct them, and many of them, you know, they see us in the neighborhood. Hey, it's Pastor so-and-so, there's so-and-so. And we really have a good time with them and encourage many of them to realize that, you know, the potential that they have and to take. We've seen a change, and we're very grateful for our community to be school systems.
That's awesome. You know, I'm really happy to hear what it is that you just said. And I'm hoping that the persons who are listening and, you know, had a bit of this perspective that, enough is not being done, that in fact, there is much that is being done. And instead, rather, you know, give a helping hand, you know, support the outreach programs and what it is that the churches are trying to do within our communities, because there's a lot of positive transformation going on as a result of this direct outreach. But in discussing our topic, the state of fatherhood, sometimes we need to be a little bit more didactic in our delivery. And persons sometimes just genuinely don't know, right? Just genuinely don't know. And we take for granted that he or she knows, right? And for someone who may be listening and they want to be better at being a dad, but they don't quite know exactly, you know, what the role entails. What should I really be doing? What's the best way of me going about it? Let's say you're having this one-on-one conversation with someone who's trying to right the wrong. And he asks you, Pastor Lyle, how am I to be a good father? What really, truly is my role? What would you say?
Well, you are cooking with gas. That's an excellent question. You know, I'm amazed how often in the old you hear the expression, and so-and-so followed after the Balaam like his father before him. Let me just give you a couple of those. Second Chronicles 17:3. This is the good news. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and did not seek after the Balaam. Second Chronicles 26:4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. But most of the time you hear this. First Kings 22:52, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father, in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made all Israel to sin. And then Jeremiah 9, they have walked in the imagination of the master of Balaam, which their fathers taught them. And so we need to recognize that more is caught than taught. And you're absolutely correct. Many men have no idea what it is to be a father. So much so that I would recommend the average Bahamian male put off being a father until you've developed your character. Put off being
that's good.
Put off father until you're matured. You know, you don't need to see anybody. If you're not ready to be a father, don't be one. But when I think of trying to help someone to know how to be a better father, I'm reminded of God's call to Abraham as found in Genesis 18:19. Here's what it says, and this is God speaking, "For I have chosen him to direct his children and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just." Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Lord brings for Abraham what he has promised him to do. So from this scripture, we know the one thing that a father, several things a father does, but the one thing that jumps out is God has chosen a man to do a job. What is that job? To direct his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for him what he has promised. So if our children get the blessing of God, we are going to have to realize that we have to direct them. We do.
Mm-hmm.
They more is caught than taught. And so if we're going to direct our children to do what is right, we've got to work on ourselves. That's why I said that they should put off having children. You should work on yourself. You should develop your character. And let me get to that in a minute. But Jewish fathers, and you know, there are certain cultures where they have inculcated the way to do things well. And certainly Jewish fathers in the past were taught that their mission and being fathers involved four goals. The first one, to pass on a living relationship with the Lord God. You know, Deuteronomy 6 says, "And you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You would impress this upon your children when they get up, when they lay down." And so a father is kind of always instructing his children, whether it is in a formal sense or when he's just driving down the road or what have you. This goal, of which there are four, this goal so impacted me that I remember that when I would be dropping kids to school, mm-hmm. I would say, "Honey, look over there. What do you see?" She'd say, "Where, Daddy?" I say, "Over there, that woman, what do you see?" And I'd get her to imagine what was that woman's life like. And after, what choices do you think she'd made in her life that would have gotten her in the state that she's in? And so I took the occasion that whenever we were doing something, I would be teaching. And always I try to bring that goal to pass on a living relationship with the Lord God. Second goal, to help your children to know the joy of obedience and the value of I remember telling my older children, the younger ones, maybe not as much. I have four, just in case you're wondering. Two boys, two girls.
Okay, yeah.
Girls, in that order. But I help them to understand, listen, if you can be a janitor who, you know, you've kept your integrity, your character is one that pleases me. I could care less if you're the janitor rather than being a corrupt politician who has been. So my children know that character is more important than anything, and I have to model that. They've got to see that character is not something that Daddy talks about. It's who he is.
That's good.
I also show them that I'm obedient to the Lord, whether I want to be or whether I may feel a desire to be or not. That's the way to go, and they've learned that. Third goal, to see your children train for life. That is... what does the Bible say? Like arrows in a quiver, so is a... Oh boy, my memory's failing me here. You know the scripture. It says that, you know, that the parents, mm-hmm. they children like arrows, and mm-hmm. we have to train our children for life. They've got to know it's a dangerous world out there. They have to know that there are going to be people who take advantage of their innocence, that their naivete. We've got to not just train them in high school, we've got to train them for life as well. How to be honest, how not to lie, how to, what kind of a life mate they be looking for. I remember having a conversation with my oldest son. I said, "Son, don't mind her beauty. Don't mind that. You got to make sure that woman has an inner that the woman with only an outer beauty son, the Bible says, like a gold ring pig snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. And so teach him to know what he's looking for in terms of possible wife when the time comes along. And then four, prepare your children for marriage. My children see me and my wife's marriage all the time. They can ask questions. I believe by and large, we've modeled a good marriage for them where they're not afraid. I remember because my parents were divorced, I was afraid of marriage until I saw the godly men in my church who were married, and, you know, they would argue and their marriages didn't fall apart. And you know, I began to realize, whoa, marriages do last.
Good. So example is important.
Yeah. Oh, example is everything.
Example is important. Yeah.
It's absolutely everything. You can talk till the cows come home, but if someone can't see it, then you know, you might as well go and talk to the wall.
Someone has to model it for you show you, here is how you do this. And I believe you were referring to Psalms 127:4, like arrows are in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth.
Yeah,
that's happy is the man who has his quiver full of them.
Yes.
Yes, and I believe that is a beautiful transition into our break here on Influencers on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Your host, Lady Shima. I am speaking with influencer Pastor Lyle Bethel, pastor of Grace Community Church. We are having an awesome conversation on the topic, the state of fatherhood. There's going to be more on the other side of the break. Please stay tuned.
There's this place you can buy quality men and ladies fragrances like Versace and Jimmy Choo for the best prices in town. It's easy to find with lots of parking and great customer service too. Want to know where? I'm talking about Sawyer's Treasures and Tings, located right next to Sawyer Studios in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 5. Call them now at 361-7299. Got it? Sawyer's Treasures and Tings at 361-7299.
Hey, Dad, want a race?
Well, let's see who's trying to keep up with who today.
Oh, because you need a head start?
I'm already way ahead of you, son.
Keep up with what matters. Joint Care supplements your active lifestyle by supporting your bones, cartilage, muscles with essential nutrients. Joint Care helps to reduce inflammation with omega-3 and replenishes glucosamine, a natural compound vital to healthy cartilage and joints. Choose the Joint Care formula that is right for you. Supplex, Complete, and Max are available at your local pharmacy. Joint Care, a part of the Seven Seas family of vitamins and supplements.
ACG Wholesale is the answer for retail grocery store owners and everyday shoppers who want to save big. ACG carries a variety of drinks, snacks, meat products, essential dry goods like rice and yellow grits, plus lots of wholesome produce. And ACG Wholesale is a proud distributor of Borden's Milk. Opened Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located next to Phoenix Supermarkets on East Street South. Call 392-1155. That's ACG Wholesale with quality service and great prices.
Welcome back to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Lady Shima, and today I'm speaking with influencer Pastor Lyle Bethel, pastor of Grace Community Church. And we're having a wonderful conversation here on the topic, the state of fatherhood. And Pastor Bethel, right before we went to break, you were giving us and giving a bit of a teaching moment there and really helping men to know what it means and what the true role of being a father really is. And you expounded upon 4 points. For those persons who may just be joining us, please just remind us on exactly what those 4 points were that you shared.
Sure, yes. Well, I began it by citing the Genesis 18:19 passage where God is talking to Abraham and tells him exactly what his role in life is. He says to him, "For I have chosen you to direct your children and your household after you to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for you what he has promised." And so when a man comes and he's saying, you know, how do I be a father? First thing he needs to realize is he has been given a role by God to direct his children and to direct them in the way of the Lord so that they would experience the blessings that God has for people who are trying to live their lives right. And I moved from there to say that Jewish fathers, teaching coming out of this, Jewish fathers realized there were four goals that they should be about. One, to pass on a living relationship with the Lord God. And I mentioned how in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, it says, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart. You got to impress them upon your children when you get up, when you lay down, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's an ongoing teaching experience. Two, the second goal, to help your children know the joy of obedience and the value of character. We've got to give our children character. An education without morals is to train a child in evil. They've got to have, you don't want a smart child who's brilliant in math, but you haven't given them character, because they're going to steal from any business they're a part of. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then goal three, to see your children trained for life. We don't just want them getting a high school education or a diploma. We're teaching them everything about life.
Yes.
Friendships and so forth. And then the fourth goal, to prepare your children for marriage. The assumption is that pretty much that they're going to get married, and you want them to know how to choose a mate, how to live with that other person. Tell couples, I'm counseling for marriage all the time, the greatest enemy to marriage is not the devil. It's self-will and pride and an inability to,
wow,
you know, to say you're sorry, forgiveness. But I would add to that Joshua 24 that says that after Joshua makes it clear that they could follow the gods of their fathers in that they accumulated in Egypt, or the gods they accumulated in the 40 years during the wilderness wandering, and they picked up stuff from Hittites and Amorites. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there needs to be a determination. A man mm-hmm. needs to take reins of his family and direct them Godward. It ought not to be a casual thing. He needs to know, needs to have an intention. I'm going to make my family better. Because chances are his family has already been crippled by family sin, sweethearting, alcoholism, out of wedlock pregnancies, and so forth. Someone has got to grab the reins and redirect that family on another course. And I believe when men are more self-aware as to who they are and what mm-hmm. their challenges are, they're going to do a better job. Some points I would add to this. Men need to educate themselves. What is my family's challenges? And how do I educate myself to be a better man than perhaps my own dad was? That would involve developing their character.
Let's talk a little bit about that, the development of a character, because a lot of what it is that you mentioned can only really be had or executed or made a reality with a man who has, you know, integrity and character. If a young man were to walk up to you and ask, how do I develop good character, right? These are the types of conversations and types of answers, you know, that they don't necessarily ordinarily hear on any given day. What would you say to him? I mean, how really does that happen? Where do they even begin?
I think mentorship is everything, because, you know, you can't talk character. Character has to be modeled. When the yes. only thing is dishonesty all around them, people breaking their word, people who say one thing but do another, they don't believe. You know, we teach our kids all these things in high school, but the world out there isn't like that. And so we have got to teach them character. And the only way you can teach someone character is by them being exposed to men of character whose words can be trusted. As mm-hmm. fathers, when we tell our children we're going to take them to the beach on Monday, boy, it could be thundering and lightning, and the child will say, what time are we going?
That's true.
Because you know, you said we go to the beach on Monday. And God help mm-hmm. you if the child begins to think that your word means nothing. And so the more I think we model character and that that goes against the grain of what they see in their own lives, that's the greatest chance for someone to say, yes, I know that people are hypocrites and liars and cheaters and swindlers, but I don't have to be, because my daddy or my uncle or whatever showed me how I can be a real man.
Mm-hmm. That's so really important what it is that you just said, and it leads very well into my next question. And that is, you know, talking about the lack of identity with our young men, they're just challenged with so much lack, a good number of them, lack of empowerment, right? And I'm talking about various dimensions of empowerment, like financial empowerment, like being empowered psychologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, being empowered through guidance and a mentorship. You know, how do we begin to right the wrongs when it comes to this? How do we actually instill a form of identity, positive identity, self-identity, when it comes to our young men, and help them to actually believe that they are a person, that you are a person of worth, that you are a person of value, that you have been born with great purpose and an assignment, and that you've got to know that you matter, that you are important to the world? What are your thoughts on this?
Wow, that's a mouthful there. You're absolutely correct. Someone has got to speak life into these children. Someone has got to believe in them, and I would say pass on a sense of destiny.
Give them a blessing. That's good. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Give them a blessing. You know, and sometimes it doesn't have to be some big highfalutin thing. I have found that when we engage our children in sports, particularly team sports, they learn accountability. They learn teamwork. They learn that it's not just about you, it's about the team. And so I found that my son playing baseball and my kids practicing rowing, they develop a lot of skills that actually enhances what I've been teaching them. Like my son with his baseball learns to realize, you know, there's three people on base. There's certain things he may need to do if they're going to get all three of them home, as opposed to just being concerned about him wanting to hit the ball. You realize there's team sport and there's your own personal desire. And if sometimes you have to take one for the team. And all these things develop a social being who understands the need for honesty and integrity and work together with others. And but I feel that the home has collapsed by and large in the Bahamas, and the only place it can be fixed is a church. And so the church now needs to realize that much of fathering has been lost when you've got homes that are three or four generations of just single mothers. The church has a way now to impart into these boys father figures. And so it can't be business as usual. It just can't be the pastor preaching on Sunday and everybody goes home. Churches have to find a way where the boys particularly, but girls as well, are getting to be impacted with trustworthy men who are building into their lives without taking advantage of who they are.
Yeah, that's good. I'm very, very glad to hear you say that, because that sort of lends into what it is that I want us to segue now to discuss just for a short bit as we move towards the end of this very, very impactful and powerful conversation here today on the topic, the state of fatherhood. And I want us to talk a little bit about the rule of law and how the rule of law impacts men in our society, men who eventually become fathers. And of course, according to some statistics and research, more than 90% of gender-based violence is at the hand of a young man against or upon a woman, unfortunately, in our country. PM, Prime Minister Brave Davis, during his address at the opening session of the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development's National Gender-Based Violence Law Review Forum earlier this year, 2022, he said, "I think we can all agree that our laws regarding gender-based violence must be aligned with our values and international treaty obligations." And he went on to say, "As Bahamians, we should speak with one voice when we repudiate discrimination against women and girls and denounce gender-based violence and domestic abuse, just as we should be ardent advocates for gender equality and child and family welfare. So there is this move by the government, right, to move towards putting more laws in place that will help to remediate violence against women. And I just want to ask you, what are your thoughts as we close on the function of the rule of law when it comes to promoting safer homes and communities, so many of which are plagued with the plight of some men who really struggle with being agents of violence, unfortunately?
Yeah, unfortunately, so many of the men in our society have not learned conflict resolution. Men and women are so different. There was a couple of studies done. One of them I'm going to speak about, where an experiment was done where men and women were asked, would you prefer to live in a world where you are respected but never loved? Or would you prefer to live in a world where you were loved even if you were not respected? And by and large, that it broke men and women, with men preferring to be in a world where they were respected even if they were never loved. Women being in a world where they're loved even if they didn't necessarily get respect. And I think men and women, we've lost something where a lot of our women don't know what it is that makes a man feel respected. And a lot of our men don't know what it is that makes a woman feel loved. And sometimes a woman just thinks she's having a conversation, but because these men have these, perhaps let's say, weird ideas of what respect looks like for him, he feels disrespected. And because he has no conflict resolution skills, the only thing he knows to do is, I have to shut this woman up because she's disrespected me. And so I believe one of the great exercises we must do is teach persons from an early age constitution. You know, a 3-year-old child that has a toy and his mother's friend brings her little child over and that child takes his favorite push toy. The child whose toy it is going to immediately snatch that away because as far as they're concerned, that's my toy. You're playing with it. They have zero skills. It's mine. I want it. They're all emotion. But if a parent can say, now, Joey, our friend is over here today and he wants to play with the toy too. Why don't we do this? He can play with your toy for 15 minutes. Mommy or daddy's going to set the watch at 15 minutes. You'll switch where you will play with your toy and he'll play with it. So the more skills you can pass on to a little child,
that's good.
The better he's going to manage difficult situations. How much more so adults, that you pass on to them that, okay, you're feeling disrespected by this woman, but is she trying to disrespect you, or you have an unreasonable view of what respect is? Let's talk and try to reach a better understanding. And so I think the more we have these conversations, perhaps we can get away from this idea that these boys have that, you know, if you disrespect me, I'm going to tap you up.
Right.
It's not necessary. And they have not, they only know that their uncle used to tap up their auntie when she got out of line. You know, that's the only thing they know.
So that's what they learn through observation.
Exactly.
You know, and everything that you're saying is so, so very, you know, powerful. And a lot of what the Word of God is about social skills. Persons tend to make this sharp demarcation and differentiation. This is spiritual, and the Bible only deals with this, and this social stuff, you know, the professional world, the business world, the Bible doesn't really deal with that. But it really deals with life holistically.
Yes.
It deals with all areas. It deals with all pillars of society, right? It teaches us how to respect each other and how to function within society and how to make a positive impact and how to bring about positive transformation. And this is why, you know, the presence of the church within any society is so, so, so very important. And as we wrap up the conversation today, we're nearing the end, and I'm really, really enjoying this conversation. You're saying so much of what needs to be heard as it relates to our young men who eventually become fathers or who are already fathers, right, as we are in this month of June. The month is really dedicated to celebrating and observing our fathers. Unfortunately, violence hit home very closely for you and your church family when a young man unfortunately came there to the basketball court, there at your church and opened fire. And unfortunately, two men were hit and had to be taken to hospital. Give us a bit of an update on exactly what's going on with that particular situation and how you as a leader, as the pastor of Grace Community, and how you all as a church family really you're dealing with this particular circumstance and situation and what's coming of it. And how is that now, that this experience going to impact even further the kinds of outreach and the nature and the structure and the presentation of what it is that you do as a church family as it relates to violence in our community?
Okay, well, thank you for asking the question. Well, first, let me say this. I was extremely disappointed that my private letter to members somehow got into the, out to the public. The member that would have forwarded that is really out of line, because that should not have happened. Nonetheless, it's out there. So I will take that as something that the Lord allowed in his permissive will. You know, we, as we said at the beginning of the program, Grace has so many ways where we're trying to impact young men, young women, and so forth. The understanding is that the one boy angry at another boy, there'd been an altercation they'd had somewhere else. One of the boys, who apparently neither of them are from the area, saw the other boy playing here, went and got a gun from somewhere, came and shot at him, and apparently only grazed him, whereas the other boy was hit in the thigh or the leg somewhere. And I have not been able to, simply because I've been preoccupied with some other things, I've not been able to get a full brief on everything, but we would want to reach out to all of the parties involved and help them. Obviously, talk about conflict resolution skills being needed. That's not the way to do it. And we're talking little boys. From the videos we're seeing, the shooter doesn't look more than 14.
He looks 14 with a gun shooting at other young men. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
would be interesting to find out where he got the gun from.
It would be. It really would be. But we continue to, that's not deterred us. We will continue to minister to the young man in the neighborhood. We continue to want to mentor them and disciple them in whatever ways we can, because we recognize if we don't reach them now, they can end up becoming a challenge to all of us later. Mm-hmm. And so you want to do the hard work now. You want to bend the tree while it's still young, if you're going to get the kind of society that we're looking for. And so we're fine. We're doing well here at Grace. Basketball court is open again.
That's good. Okay.
We, you know, the police tell us all the time, leave that open. You know, these kids need something to do to let the steam off after a hard day, to work hard. And it gives them a point of focus where they can burn off all that energy. Mm-hmm. But we'll continue to do the work of ministering to men and women in the neighborhood and at the various schools, because we believe a young life saved is a whole life saved.
Most definitely. Have police committed to frequenting the area more often as a result of what has occurred?
Well, we already have a crime watch group here that is very active. We have police that, before this happened, we have police who check in on us all the time. Not that they feel a need to, but it's just Grace has developed such an excellent reputation in the community and beyond, where the police have their various meetings and town meetings here. We're a community church, and so everybody knows us, everybody loves us, and so the police look in on us every so often, because crime is a problem everywhere. Most of our services, we'll have a security person who just watches out for the cars. Mm-hmm. Make sure that some person isn't coming and breaking into the cars, which apparently is a common problem everywhere.
Unfortunately.
So because it was just a regular Thursday night and people were practicing, we didn't have security at that time because no one expects there to be a problem. So we were it was a one-off situation. Grace is a church. We don't expect that kind of a thing to happen in any kind of a regular basis. It would seem to be a one-off situation that we pray won't be repeated, because the young men were not known to us. the one who was shot at and the one who shot.
Oh, okay.
I got that from one of the men in the neighborhood. They said, man, Pastor, we don't know who those two boys were. They're not from around here. And that's one of the men from the neighborhood telling me that, who would have grown up on the basketball court, you know?
I'm just happy to hear now that the court has now been reopened because, you know, whenever I pass that area, I'm always so inspired and encouraged when I see, you know, the young men gathering, you know, and really having community, talking, conversation, you know, just really positive vibes. And we know we need so much more of that within our community. So I really want to encourage you as the pastor of Grace Community, as well as your entire church family, to continue in your outreach programs, to continue in your community outreach and adopting schools and what it is that you do in partnering with the judicial system and so many other areas. Because like you mentioned before, earlier during our conversation, as we discussed the topic, the state of fatherhood, where would this nation be? We would never, ever like to see where we would be without the presence of the church. So thank you very much for such an insightful, impactful, and inspirational conversation today, Pastor Felto.
Thank you, Lady Shima. I really enjoyed being on the show. And may I take this opportunity to laud and applaud and say happy Father's Day to all the fathers in our nation who are doing their endeavor best to raise their children. For those father figures who don't have children of their own but are making an impact, thank you so much. And for those who are struggling, learning how to be a father, recognize that you can learn by being a part of a church where they're teaching men how to be better men and better fathers. I commend all of you and the women who support them in their role of being fathers. Thank you.
Good words upon which to end today's show. You were listening to Influencers here on Guardian Talk Radio, 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Lady Shima, as I interview today influencer Pastor Lyle Bethel. Until next time, blessings.
Influencers was brought to you by
Joint Care, supplements to keep you active. Sawyer Studios, located in the Flowers Plaza, Carmichael Road West. Global Transformation Media, transforming you from the inside out. The Affirmation Nation. And Guardian Talk Radio. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.